This is your day to shine, but we cannot do it on our own. And for sure, I cannot do it in this world. And so we're offered the great invitation. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Now here he's quoting, of course, the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, with which Paul's very familiar. And Jerry Hawthorne, in his wonderful commentary, by the way, Jerry Hawthorne, who had such a mind for Jesus and who struggled with anxiety deeply in his own life, Jerry writes that you can translate this, not just don't be anxious, but stop being anxious. It's in the present tense, which can mean it's addressing a behavior that just keeps going on, and I got to keep remembering, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, I don't have to do that. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, that takes in a lot of territory. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to talk today about the 80-20% rule when it comes to prayer. And it's not 20% of the people get 80% of the answers to prayer. It's something much deeper from somebody who is a much deeper prayer than me. But I'll start with here. When I think about prayer today, I have to think about a friend. We pray for one another. We do that when there are needs that are too deep for human beings to take care of them, we know. And as I'm recording this, within this last week or so, a man by the name of John Huffman passed away. His wife, Ann, came on the board at Fuller Seminary together at the same time I did, and we served there for many years. John was the pastor at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, kind of a larger-than-life character, big guy with a big voice. I first heard him speak when I was a student at Wheaton College, and then I would sneak off to St. Andrew's sometimes when I was a student at Fuller Seminary and didn't have to work on a weekend to listen to him preach. And then over the years, we'd be able to connect in one way or another. He was the best of what the sadly baggaged word evangelical would connote. Thoughtful guy, Princeton grad, cared about statecraft, is on the board of Christianity Today and Gordon Conwell Theological Education, mattered a lot to him. He's pastor of Richard Nixon way back in the day in Florida, and would counsel with Billy Graham and just about everybody in the church tribe. And he would talk about that and then make fun of himself. He had a wonderful sense of humor for telling you the names of the people that he knows. And in my darkest days, I remember John calling me up and saying, John, real deep voice, you know, you need to keep going, keep being involved. Let me know how I can help. If you want to have a board, if you want to have other people that, you know, put our credibility there with yours, you let me know. Ann and I are praying for you. And our world is a little drabber place. Our tribe is a little drabber tribe without his body on this earth. But I say, we say to Ann and his family and folks that have loved him, we'll pray for you. What does that mean? What difference does it make? Dallas Willard wrote a whole book, Hearing God, and it was really about developing a conversational relationship with God. Prayer, because God is a person and we are a person, is at the heart of it. And he writes, one can find practically an endless supply of stories about people hearing God. Each of it is of considerable interest in its own right. I love to dwell on them myself. And I have noticed other people rarely tired of hearing them, even when they do not entirely believe them. Although none of these stories is to be treated as canonical, together they serve an essential point of reference for research in the divine guidance in hearing God. And he tells in this book of a man named Robert McFarlane, well-known businessman in the Los Angeles area, who had several years of constant strain and stress in a business that he had to take over for a friend, didn't really want to, but he had to. He had recently come to faith in Christ through Rolling Hills Covenant Church in California in answer to the prayers of his wife Betsy and many friends. One day that spring, the continual danger of defeat, daylight and dark hours of effort, frustration at every turn, hardened memories of the cause of his financial difficulties came on him with special force. He drove towards his office, facing yet another day of futility and failure, but having to accomplish the absolute necessities to keep the business afloat. Suddenly he was filled with a frantic urge to turn left onto the road out of town and just disappear. Afterward, he always felt he was going to make that turn. How far he would have gone, of course, is unknown. But into the midst of his inner turmoil, there came a command, pull over to the curb. As he relates it, it was as if the words were written on the windshield. After he pulled over there came to him, as though from someone with him in the car, these words. My son had strains that you will never know. And when he had these strains, he turned to me. And that's what you should do. Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, through prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. After hearing these words, Robert sat at the wheel for a long time, sobbing aloud. He then drove on to his Long Beach office, where he faced 22 major outstanding problems, all the most significant problems, whether they concerned company disagreements, clients deciding to remain with his agency, payments by clients of sizable late premiums, or whatever, were substantially resolved by the day's end. Dallas goes on to quote English philosopher and theologian John Bailey, "Our knowledge of God rests on the revelation of his personal presence. Of such a presence, it must be true that to those who have never been confronted with it, argument is useless, while to those who have it, it is superfluous." Now, we're invited by Paul in every situation. How many does that leave out? Through prayer and petition. He's talked about those earlier in this letter to the Philippians. He talks about his own prayers on their behalf and their prayers for him. With thanksgiving, forget that part, present your request to God. But then here's what's interesting. He does not say, as a result, your situation will turn out exactly the way that you want it to. He says, and the peace of God, interesting, in all the New Testament, Jerry Author writes, this is the only time this particular phrase, the peace of God, is used. Not peace with God, like in Romans chapter 5 that we have through Jesus and the forgiveness expressed in the cross. Not peace from God, like Paul writes in Ephesians 2, that Jesus is our peace. He's torn down the dividing wall of hostility. But the peace of God, that is the tranquility that marks God's very spirit himself, that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he uses the military picture of a garrison there and soldiers not going to let anything in. Very familiar to Philippi, a Roman garrison. In other words, the change that Paul says is going to happen as we pray may involve our situation, but it will surely involve our heart. And that brings me to the 80-20 rule. You might know Johnny Erickson Tata and Charlie Bradshaw, who's another good friend of Become New and prays for us on a regular basis, just told me about this quite recently. You might know the story of Johnny Erickson Tata, a remarkable person who, as a young woman, sustained a horrible neck injury, broken neck, became a quadriplegic, and has lived with that now for 5 decades, and then 2 bouts of breast cancer and chronic pain. Her life and teaching and writings has been extraordinary. She has, I think, to this day, the largest organization to minister, care for folks with physical and so disabilities in the world. But if anybody were to say, you know, if you just have enough faith, you'll walk again, you'll be able to use your limbs again. No, it doesn't work that way. I have a situation. You have a situation. My friend Doug used to talk about, we got a situation here. And I meant there's trouble, but he would always bring humor and spirit into it. I have a situation that, as best I can tell, I would give everything I have to be able to change it, but I can't. And I do not believe that faith means trying to convince myself or make myself believe that my situation is going to change. I pray about it. I would love that dearly, but I don't believe that's the essence of faith. Johnny Erickson Tata recommends this, that when it comes to prayer, spend 20% of your time praying about the situation. God, would you relieve my pain? God, would you give me this ability again? God, I've got these financial problems. God, I'm concerned about this person. God, my work's not going well. About 20% of the time, praying about the situation. Not wrong to do that. That's on our heart. God knows that we care about that. But then spend about 80% of the time in prayer praying about how does my heart need to grow? What is it that God wants to teach me through this situation? What is it that I can learn about Jesus in this situation? How might God be calling me to become a different person? Because those are the things that matter eternally. The situation, God cares about that, and we do, so it's not a bad thing. But none of us is smart enough to know how a situation ought to work or what kind of a situation God is best going to be able to use or how it will be redeemed in light of eternity. But the person that I become in, that's what matters most. So today, you got a situation going on. Everybody does. Talk with God about it. But try that 80-20 rule. Present your request, your petition to God with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you're here. Thank you that you love me. Here's the situation. I sure wish this would change. Now, God, how do I meet you here? That's 80-20. Shine.
Hey, if you haven't already, I encourage you to make watching or listening to these teachings from Become New a habit in your life. Habits are one of the main ways that we grow and change. And resetting our thoughts, recalibrating our heart and our mind to God each and every day is one of the best things that we can do. During the teaching today, I just felt inspired to share with you a little practice that I have. I loved what John talked about with the 80-20 rule, the conversational relationship with God. And this isn't for everybody, especially not for Nancy, if you're listening, but I like to journal. This is my 2025 journal. And one of the things that I'll do that's just quick is I will take a second to pause most days and just pray, God, search my heart. What do you want to tell me today? And then I'll write down what I feel like he's saying to me. And then once I'm done with that, underneath that, I'll write a very brief prayer response to God. And one of the reasons I like doing this is it brings it out of just kind of the abstract, my mind, into reality through my journal. And then I can go back and actually look at what I felt like God was saying to me last week or the week before, because often I just forget. Do you have any practices that come to mind when you listen to this teaching that help you have that conversational relationship with God? We'd love to know. You can drop it in the comments, or all of our contact is in the show notes. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Bye for now.